Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Well, in Genesis 25, 24, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, had twins. Lucky lady. She had twins. And Jacob and Esau. And inside of her then, therefore, was two nations. And this parallels to the believer in the New Testament, who also within them, once they become a Christian, once you're born again and have the Spirit of God regenerate you and put the Holy Spirit within you, you have two natures. Just like Rebekah, she had two within her, and you have two natures as well. And Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 26, 41, he said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, lest you fail or fall into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing," that's one nature, the Spirit within you, small s, your human spirit. "The Spirit indeed is willing," meaning to walk with the Lord, "but the flesh," nature number two, "is weak and will follow its passions, its lusts, its desires." So those two things go on inside the believer's life. The spirit, that's willing to walk with God, wants to walk with God, wants to honor God. But then number two, there's another nature within us, and you may have noticed him from time to time, that just wants to have its own way, do whatever it wants to do, and doesn't really care to honor God. Every day of our lives as Christians, every day of our lives, we face these things. We face these decisions. We make a lot of decisions every day. First decision you make may be to get out of bed. It's a tough one. Every day you face these decisions to choose to honor God and to walk the way your spirit would lead you, or you choose to submit to your own selfish, fleshy living lifestyle. One of those two things, and you're always choosing between the two. Somebody insults you, you have to decide like almost instantaneously whether you're going to respond to them spiritually, as God would have you to do it, or you're just going to react to what they said and go off in the flesh. But that decision comes like that. That's just one tiny decision you make in the course of a day, and you're making 10,000 of them. Whether to honor God, whether to just react in the flesh, whether to see it the way God would have you see it, or see it in the way your flesh would see it. All of that comes down to multiple decisions. And so as Christians, we're learning to make the right decisions. Hopefully, as we grow in grace and grow in the Lord, we learn to make more and more decisions that are in adherence to the Spirit rather than the flesh. Hopefully, we're growing and learning to honor God in these things. But we do fail. We do fail. The flesh at times does win out. And we do fail. But failure, God uses it. And God uses our failures to teach us that we are weak. He teaches us that we are weak. And we cannot overcome the temptations of the flesh in our own strength. So at least even in our failure, he's going to take what seems to be bad and work it into something good, because he's going to teach us through failure. And learning through failure is sometimes a good way to learn. Every child of God, every believer, every child of God must learn that they are weak. If they don't know that, then when they are faced with something God wants them to do, they might try and then fail and feel condemned. Or they might try and think they've succeeded, and then they get self-righteous. So you're either going to fail and feel condemned, or you're going to end up being self-righteous rather than godly. And that's no good either. So the believer has to learn, the child of God has to learn that he is weak. Now, every man and woman of God throughout the Bible learned that in their lifetimes. Moses learned that he was unable to save his people. He had that call on his life to go and do something about the plight of the Jewish people, but he had to learn that he was unable to do it. He couldn't do it. He was too weak to do it. That's Exodus 4 and verse 10. And it took him 40 years to learn it. But he learned it. And God don't much care about 40 years. 40 years is nothing to God. That he learns it is important. 40 years is a long time for us. But that he learned it. Likewise, Isaiah, who was a prophet of God, yet needed to learn, even though in his ministry he seemed to be well appreciated by all of his peers and all of the people of the land, held him in high regard, he still needed to learn in his own heart. He needed to learn about being unclean before God. And that's Isaiah 6 and verse 5. He realized that he was just playing church. And he was missing something very, very important in his life. And God had to show him that. And through weakness and failure, God was able to do that. Solomon, as great as he was, the greatest of kings on the earth, as far as men go, felt very inadequate about his life. That's 1 Kings 3:7. He had to learn that with God. Jacob, in Genesis 32, needed to wrestle with God and come out of that cave with a limp. And have that limp remind him the rest of his life that he was weak. That he was a very weak man. He wasn't going to be able to perform God's will without strength that didn't come from him, but came from God. Up in the New Testament, Peter had to learn the same thing. And Peter was a braggadocious kind of guy who thought he could do anything. But he had to learn that he was weak and that he was a failure. And he did on multiple occasions. And in Luke 5:8, he says, "Depart from me, Jesus, I'm sinful." He had to learn it. Then the Apostle Paul. He needed to learn that through failure, that in him there was no good thing. And that was his conclusion in Romans 7:18. Wyatt is learning. He's part of every message now. He's just he always adds to it now. He learned he's weak. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, learned that he couldn't do it. He tried, and he was a very disciplined man. But with all of his disciplines, he realized that he couldn't live up to God's standards without God doing something in him. That in him was no good thing. King David, back in the Old Testament, learned throughout his years, it says, that he learned that he was a weak man. And David had many, many victories he could look back on and say, "Look at that. Look at how amazing I was." But no, God showed him how weak he was. That's Psalm 102, verse 23. So here we have Rebecca, she has two sons. One is Jacob, the spirit man. One is Esau, the flesh man. And we have the grandsons of Esau, the flesh man. One is Edom, E-D-O-M, and one is Amalek. And they represent the flesh. They are the grandsons of the flesh man, and they represent the flesh. And whenever you see them in the Old Testament, if you're making a spiritual analogy to your own life, they represent the flesh. So in Exodus 17, verse 16, you see that when it comes to Amalek, Moses told the people, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. In the Old Testament, God said, Amalek, who represents the flesh, I will be against, I will be opposed to, I will be at war with from generation to generation to generation to generation. I will always oppose the flesh. I won't get along with it. I won't fellowship with it. I won't listen to it. I won't answer its prayers. I won't cater to it. I won't pamper it. I won't baby it. I won't do anything with that nature that's in you and in me that wants to live selfishly before God. I will not deal with it. I'm at war against it. The only thing he has for the flesh in the New Testament is a cross to be crucified on. But people throw tantrums with God. They try to barter with God. They use their flesh to somehow become very emotional before God, thinking God is going to be moved by it. He's at war against that flesh. He honors your spirit man. As you follow God and as you live for Jesus Christ, he honors that and loves to honor that, loves to answer prayers. That's why we're always instructed in the New Testament to pray in the Spirit, even sing in the Spirit, even to have everything we do become something that's through the Spirit man. Because the flesh man, God will not honor. It'll have nothing to do with it, because as far as he's concerned, it belongs on the cross. So why is it crying in my ear? It belongs on the cross dead. Galatians 5:17 is the New Testament verse parallel to this Exodus verse. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Or if you got a New American Bible, the flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to another. Flesh man, spirit man. They're both inside of you. But they're in contrary to one another. They're in opposition to each other. One wants to go this way, the other wants to go the other way. One wants to do what God says, the other wants to do what I feel like.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist.